Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking a look around the AFC, and to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Jay Morrison, who covers the Cincinnati Bengals for The Athletic. Jay, what's going on? How we doing?
Well, doing great. Just trying to track all these cuts that are coming down today.
It's going to be a busy day across the league. No question about that. So, Jay, as you can imagine, I don't know that Titans fans are ever going to forget the playoff game against the Bengals this past season. A lot of pain coming from Titans fans from that game. But the last time we saw the Bengals, they had some struggles on the offensive line and were able to get to the Super Bowl in spite of it. They've taken some steps to address that this offseason. How much better do you expect the protection and the offensive line play to be for Joe Burrow this year?
Yeah, quite a bit. I mean, you mentioned it, 9 sacks in that game, and the Bengals still found a way to win. It was 70 sacks, 139 hits in the regular season and the playoffs. And then that was the key piece of the offseason, was to get that line increased or improved in free agency. They did it on the very first day. They signed Alex Kappa and Ted Karras. Joe Burrow has been adamant. A lot of people think of all these sacks as being guys flying off the edge. The Tennessee game showed exactly what Joe Burrow hates, and that's pressure up the middle. He really has a much more harder time dealing with that than he does the guys off the edge. He feels like he has a good chance to make them miss, or at least a fighting chance. And then they finish it up a few days later with Lyle Collins at right tackle. So 3 new starters, all of them with a lot of experience in this league, 2 of them with Super Bowl rings. It really was the one glaring weakness of this team last year, and they improved it. So I think the Bengals and their fans are feeling pretty good about what Joe Burrow's protection is going to look like this year.
Yeah, just following up on that, Jay, I know it's, you know, practice probably gives a lot better glimpse, you know, than the preseason games. Not sure how much those guys actually got to play out there, but what's your sense for, do you feel like they got what they paid for with those guys, and is there a good chemistry yet?
Yeah, that's kind of incomplete. Alex Kappa had core muscle surgery in OTAs and missed most of OTAs. He was back for training camp. Lael Collins showed up for training camp on the non-football injury list with a back injury. His only 2 days of competitive practice were the joint practices against the Rams, and one ended early because he started a fight. So that is the whole chemistry aspect of it is still a work in progress, even though they've had these guys on the books since March. And the other thing to remember, we always talk about with the offensive line is the no donkey approach. They've had a battle all year at left guard, and the assumption was last year's second round pick Jackson Carmen was going to win that. He has not. They're going to go with a 4th round rookie out of North Dakota State. So as good as that right side looks, if you've got a hole on the left side, if this rookie can't hold up, defenses like the Titans are going to exploit it and still get to Joe Burrow.
So, Jay, to that point, you brought up the Aaron Donald incident with the helmet being slung around out there. What's been the reaction to that in Cincinnati with the fans? What's been the reaction to that in the organization as well?
Yeah, shrug from the organization. Zach Taylor was asked about it in the immediate aftermath. He was asked about it again this week. Wants to put it behind them, says they've moved on. Cincinnati fans are understandably bitter. If you see someone swinging a helmet at someone's head in a game, it's a suspension. If they do it in practice, it's A-okay. It's up to the team to met out the punishment, and you know the Rams aren't going to severely punish their best player, arguably the best player in the league. It kind of reopened the wounds, even though a lot of people think the Bengals were lucky to get to the Super Bowl and it was kind of a charm season. Losing that game at the end the way they did and watching Aaron Donald run around pointing at his finger just to see that guy kind of do this to one of their players. I think he's enemy number one right now in Cincinnati.
Yeah, that was wild. That was, I mean, you're right. Of course, Rams aren't going to do anything. But I looked at that and I was like, gosh, if there was ever a time for the NFL to overstep, which of course the NFL does all the time, I feel like at least a fine or something to try to deter that, because that looked really dangerous. Jay, this defense returns 10 starters. Do you believe it can be significantly improved from last season?
Yeah, I really do. Lou Anarumo's making a name for himself, a defensive coordinator, as you know, what the players called him in the playoffs last year, the mad scientist, with the way he disguises things, and he can change the scheme and the game plan, not just from game to game, but from half to half. And yeah, you mentioned 10 starters back. It's kind of like 10 and a half, because the only one that's not back is Larry Ogunjobi, and he and BJ Hill were a platoon and at the three technique, and BJ Hill is back. So it is like they have the whole band back together, and they've really added on that defensive line some young talent. It's unproven, but they've looked really good in camp and in the preseason games. So the pass rush shouldn't be improved. The defense, the secondary looks like it's going to be great. They drafted Dax Hill in the first round out of Michigan. He's supposed to be Jesse Bates' replacement. If Jesse Bates didn't show up, Jesse Bates did show up and sign his franchise tag last week. So now Dax Hill is going to be this versatile piece, almost like a pawn that Lou Anarumo can put anywhere on the field, in the slot, outside corner, as a third safety, as a safety in Bates' place to give Bates a blow. It's going to be – it would not surprise me to see this be a top-five defense this year.
Jay Morrison from The Athletic on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Jay, it may be scary for the rest of the league to think about this, but the Joe Burrow-Jamar Chase connection. I know they played together in college, obviously, at LSU, and then the first year in Cincinnati last year. How much better do you think that connection can and will get the more years they continue to play together?
Yeah, I mean, that chemistry is only going to grow. You would assume Jamar Chase's talent is going to grow and Joe Burrow's talent is going to grow. Those guys are still so young, not even close to their primes yet. The question, if you want to talk about can he have the same kind of year numbers-wise, I think the defenses are going to decide that. If defenses want to take him out of a game, they can, but then they've got T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, Joe Mixon. They went and signed Hayden Hurst in free agency, a former first-round pick at tight end. They've got other weapons to go to if teams try to take Jamar Chase away. And we did see teams toward the end of last year really roll coverage at Jamar Chase, and he still burned them from time to time while those other guys had big games. So it's going to be really interesting to watch. And the most interesting thing is, what are they going to do with Jamar Chase? I think we're going to see him in the slot a whole lot more this year in some bunch and stack formations. They're going to even try to figure ways to get him open, even if teams are concentrating solely on him to try to shut him down.
Jay, how does Joe Mixon look? I feel like Joe Mixon is one of the overlooked players in this league, and maybe it's the position too, because there just aren't many running backs that even get discussed. But how has he looked, and do you agree with that? Do you think people sleep on him a little bit?
Yeah, that's the forgotten piece of improving this offensive line. Is it's not all about Joe Burrow's protection. All three of these guys are going to be significant upgrades in the run game. And Joe Mixon had a career year last year with a suspect offensive line. It's kind of the same story with Burrow. You would, if teams are going to really focus on that passing game, he could have another huge year. And he has looked good. It's hard in training camp because obviously they're not tackling. They're just thumping a little bit. But he is just, he's such a factor. He's so big. He's so fast. He has the capability of taking over a game. And they've got a number of backs behind him that will be able to be serviceable and not make him take these kind of poundings where it's 20, 25 carries a game. And hopefully he stays fresher into the fourth quarter and then later into the season. But I expect a big year from that guy.
So, Jay, it was obviously such a magical season and ride in the playoffs last year for the Bengals, and you've got Joe Burrow back in there. You've talked about the players that are returning. How do you think this team stacks up to what is now a loaded AFC? Are they the divisional favorites? Is that Baltimore? How do you kind of forecast what this team can be once again heading into this year with an AFC that is pretty much loaded almost from top to bottom?
Yeah, it's interesting because if you're playing fantasy football and you just look at the starters, it's like, yeah, why wouldn't they be the favorites to go to the Super Bowl? But the depth is still a concern. This is a young team that's still building the great roster, and you've got Joe Burrow on this rookie contract. They've had the ability to kind of spend money elsewhere and target needs, but it's not a top-to-bottom great roster. And they were so charmed last year with no real significant injuries. You almost think that the law of averages has to catch up to them this year, and they're going to have to deal with some of that. I kind of lean toward Baltimore as the favorite. I just think they're the deeper team. But, you know, so many times when this question gets asked, you have to kind of give deference to the defending champ. And if I do give Baltimore an edge, it's a very slight edge. So I think you have to look at the Bengals as the favorite to repeat, but if I'm putting a wager down, I'm probably putting it on the Ravens.
If there's one position group that stands as the biggest concern, Jay, what would it be?
Well, I mean, so much talk about the O-line, you just assume they're going to have that improvement. I think it's tight end and maybe cornerback depth. I talked about that secondary, how strong it is. And again, that's that kind of that paper-thin model where their starters are great at safety and corner, but do they have the depth? But I think the real danger spot here is tight end. They did get Hurst. If anything happened to him, they don't have another guy like him on the roster. All the guys behind him are special team, really good blockers in the run game, but no dynamic pass catchers. I saw O.J. Howard get released today. I think the Bengals will be making a call for him. I think they are going to be in the market after today's cutdown day. That's going to be a position they're really going to target and try to find another guy who can be a dynamic pass catcher if anything is to happen to Hayden Hurst.
Well, Jay, it's going to be interesting. We're looking forward to seeing how the Bengals do this year and appreciate so much you taking time to join us this morning.
All right, thanks for having me on, guys.
Absolutely. Jay Morrison from The Athletic, our guest here on Robbie and Rexrow. We'll continue the conversation. Welcome more of your thoughts. Get you up to date on some cuts that have been made around the NFL as well. All that ahead. Kickoff week one with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Join today to get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up with promo code ROB to get in on the action. Then you can turn game day into payday all season long. I'm looking at the Titans in week one against the Giants. I like them to cover in that game, and I think they're going to play really well, but you take it any way you want to take it. Play your way and bet on more than just the final score. Wager on everything from touchdowns to total yards to catches. You can even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same game parlay. Don't fumble your chance to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, with promo code ROB. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. The moves are starting to come in throughout the NFL. We talked about O.J. Howard being released by Buffalo earlier in the show. Phillip Lindsay released by the Colts at the running back position. And Joe, apparently the Minnesota Vikings have given up on Kellen Mond as well. Kellen Mond released, a third-round pick by the Vikings last year at the quarterback position, released by Minnesota today. So I don't think a huge surprise there based on what Minnesota's done in camp thus far that he's released, but that just kind of goes to show you they have not been very impressed by what they've seen out of their third-round pick at quarterback.
Yeah, and I hesitate to draw the parallel, but at least in terms of some of the people around the league talking about Malik Willis taking Tannehill's job this year, there was some of that with Kellen Mond last year too. And obviously it was never realistic. I don't know the ins and outs of like how Kellen Mond has looked from day one, but there's never any serious discussion of him taking that job. And it's awfully fast still for them to be moving on from him. That's a bit of a surprise, you know, just because I think Kellen Mond was viewed as a, you know, developmental player who maybe needed some time. It hasn't taken much time for them to figure out that they just don't see it in him.
Not much time at all. So, you know, not a bunch of huge names that have been cut thus far out there. I mean, O.J. Howard is still, to me, an interesting guy. And we heard Jay Morrison talk about it in the last segment. Like, he's got the tools, you would think, to be a pretty good tight end in this league. And he just never has really been able to put it together. But for a team like Cincinnati, who, as Jay just pointed out, may be a little light on the tight end depth, is O.J. Howard still worth taking a flyer on in your mind if you're a team like the Bengals out there?
Yeah, it's an interesting point by Jay, and I got to think there's going to be some interest that like he still has great measurables, and he's been injured, he's been banged up a lot, so there's going to be a team out there that's like, well, what if you know, we get him and he's healthy and he's motivated and we get the best football out of him at a bargain rate. Someone has got to be interested, I would think.
See what happens on that front. We'll have more cuts to bring your way as more get announced out there on Twitter as well. They're starting to roll in pretty hot and heavy throughout the league as well. So we'll keep you updated on that. So I'm interested for your thoughts on Cincinnati heading into this year, because obviously they accelerated the process last year with Joe Burrow in year two. He was healthy. They get to the Super Bowl. They've got a receiving core that is as good as anybody's in the league. And you're coming back in this year. You've invested a ton of money in your offensive line, and you're thinking to yourself, okay, most of the defense is back. You still have a receiving core that you feel great about. Joe Burrow's on his rookie contract, and now you've addressed the offensive line as well. Like, they should be pretty good. And yet, I feel like most people are picking Baltimore to win that division, and you look around the rest of the AFC and teams like Buffalo and L.A. and Kansas City getting a lot of the love. Are people perhaps maybe even overlooking Cincinnati heading into this year? And what do you make of the prospects of that offense and how much better it could be if Joe Burrow gets some actual protection this year?
Well, this whole thing, now you asked that question, I'm going to go with Fred Nash in City, who says, well, the Bengals just sound like the perfect team. Sounds like a little bit of sarcasm. This gives me a good idea for tomorrow. I think we may need to rate the homers at the Athletic, because we have this thing over under on these. You know, we talked last week about Austin Mock's 10,000 simulations.
Yeah.
And like the Titans over under is like 8-something, and I went over, but like everyone went over basically. Like it's amazing. Like everybody's incredible right now. Everybody's so good. They're so much better than everybody thinks. Like there are some people who are going to look like just blatant homers. Maybe me.
Maybe so.
This is all said and done. But like, I mean, like our Broncos guy, you know, I was like, he's got him winning 11. And I'm like, okay, maybe. But my God, like, look who they play.
Well, like somebody in that division is going to have to lose. Like there will be people that have to lose football games in that division.
And even, you know, it's like with the AFC North, it could have been a tougher division if Sexual Predator Dude played quarterback all year for the Browns. But it's still, I still think the Steelers are just like going to be solid. And I certainly think the Ravens and Bengals are going to beat each other up. So, yeah, it's, there's a lot of optimism. That's that time of year. I listened to Jay go through that stuff. It's like, yeah, that sounds pretty good. Yep, that sounds pretty good too. Yep, I agree with you. You know, they sound like a heck of a team. I do think that here's some new bodies and voila, the offensive line is way better. I do think that might be a little bit optimistic. And I mean, I'm not saying he said that, but for people who think that, might be a little bit optimistic. If that gets figured out though, because I do, I think Mixon is way overlooked. The guy is a weapon. The receiving core is ridiculous. It's a pretty salty defense. Another thing that he brought up, which is, of course, you could flip it around with the Titans, is the injury luck. You know, can you count on great luck the next year after you had it? And if you're the Titans, can you count on maybe having a little regression the other way and having better injury luck this year?
Well, look, we spent a lot of time focusing on the Titans here, obviously, and what they didn't do in that game against Cincinnati. And make no mistake about it, the Titans absolutely should have won that game, and they didn't do it. So I understand that. It is kind of amazing that Cincinnati got to the Super Bowl last year with their quarterback still fully intact and getting pummeled as much as he did. I mean, it was from the start of the year to the finish of the year last year where he was just getting rocked left and right. And I think it's a testament, number one, to how good he is and how good I think he's going to be if he can stay healthy. I mean, I'm telling you, that Burrow-Chase combo, as you start to forecast around the league the next few years, what that's going to be, like that to me is, it's clearly my number one. Like I think Burrow to Chase is going to be the best combination in the league, probably starting this year and for the foreseeable future. I mean, there's other combos that you can take a look at, and we'll see how, you know, Devontae Adams looks with Derek Carr, and, you know, we'll see how – you know, Justin Jefferson responds this year as well. But that combo is going to be elite. It is interesting what Jay threw out there in terms of, like, if you're a team trying to defend the Bengals right now, how much attention are you paying Ja'Marr Chase? And if you're taking him away, what does that do for guys like T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd and Joe Mixon as well in that offense? That's, to me, what makes it so difficult, is because I think T. Higgins on a lot of teams could be a number one guy, and on this team he's an excellent number two. So if you start shadowing over to Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins can kill you left and right.
Well, thank you for bringing up Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer in Vegas. I wasn't sure you would go there. But
I don't like to mention them, but yeah.
Yeah, Burrow, like, not only last year did he come through in one piece, it's coming off a year when he got so battered he tore his ACL. You know, it's like that guy, and that's where long-term, over the next few years, I'm a huge believer in the Bengals. I don't think that was their last Super Bowl. I think that it's going to be special in Cincinnati because I think he's special. I do look at this season just because you had the surprise run, and it's a totally different mindset for teams who play you every Sunday. Last year, that no one could give a crap about the Bengals until about week 11, you know? And all of a sudden, it's like, wow, look at these guys. You play the first place schedule and all that, and the Ravens are they got their guys back and everything. Like, I feel like this could be that little bit of a step back year for them just because of all those factors. Then again, I mean, it's those guys, and they just logged all those important snaps and had so many clutch moments. And you bring the whole defense back, plus what I agree with you is arguably the best quarterback receiver combo in the league. That's a lot to like.
Well, you know, look, everybody's talking about Justin Herbert, and I understand it. The guy's unbelievable, and he's got incredible arm talent, and I love everything about him. There's so many good quarterbacks in the AFC. Joe Burrow is just a different cat, man. That guy he's unbelievably talented, but there's just something about him. I don't know if it's the moxie, I don't know what it is, but the guy just wins. And you know, the fact that he took that team to the Super Bowl in his second year is incredible to me. And the expectation, that's going to be the expectation now moving forward, and that's fine. I think he'll eventually get back there. I don't know that that's going to be this year, but to me, like, I know Josh Allen's great, Mahomes is great, you know, obviously, you know, Herbert's great too. I think starting this year, here's my hot take for the day. Joe Burrow is going to be the best quarterback in the league this year. This year, he will be the best quarterback in the league.
And you're still picking the Ravens to win the division?
I'm still picking the Ravens to win the division.
Okay. Well, look, I think you hit on, that's the thing, the talent, all that is tremendous. I think Joe Burrow, based on everything I know from reading about him, going back to LSU, the transition from Ohio State to LSU, his willingness to comment on some things socially that a lot of people would stay the heck away from, just his relationships with his teammates, I think he's got a chance to be as good or maybe the best leader in the NFL in the foreseeable future as well. Now, look, he may not be handing out magic mushrooms to his teammates and all going out and,
there's only one guy can do that,
wandering through the desert and having these bonding moments. But maybe he is. I don't know that he isn't. But,
what if he found somebody to throw the ball to in the desert while he's wandering out there? Not a problem for Joe Burrow.
No, he is special. And I feel like the Herbert, like the fact that he would rank ahead of him, physically, you could make the case, but the intangibles for Joe Burrow are just way off the charts. Man, we got the Bengals winning it all here.
It's gonna be interesting when the Bills and the Bengals somehow go 17-0, both of them, according to you.
Do they play each other?
I have no clue.
If they don't, they both could.
They could. We'll see what happens on that front. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll take a look at Joe Rexroad's 53-man roster for the Titans coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing the Titans and keeping an eye on NFL roster cutdown day. Rosters due to be down to 53 players today by 3 o'clock, and the cuts continue to roll in. We'll keep you updated on the Titans and some cuts made around the NFL as well. 615-737-1025 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Joe Rex Road, you have come out with your final 53-man projected roster at theathletic.com. It's that time of the year. We're going to grade this very stiffly to see how smart you are and how right you end up being with the Titans and their moves at the end of the day. But as you went through this list, obviously one position battle already taken care of yesterday with Brett Kern being cut and Ryan Stonehouse being named as the punter. What were some of the more difficult decisions that came to mind for you as you were putting together your 53-man roster at theathletic.com?
Well, punter would have been tough, but yeah, that got taken care of yesterday. So quarterback is tough. I feel like there's the momentum for the idea of sneaking Woodside onto the practice squad makes sense, because is it really devastating if you do lose him? If someone out there, you almost be like, oh, good job, Logan. Congrats, buddy. Now, look, doesn't mean you feel good with Malik Willis as QB2 this year. It wouldn't go well. It would be very unlikely to go well if Malik Willis had to come in or start games for the Titans this season. So if that's what the Titans do, they lose Woodside, I think they'd go get someone else. If they go with this and put Woodside on the practice squad and you can still move things around, as needed, because was it Teresa earlier talking about the importance of getting Willis at work, right? And yeah, I agree, but I also think that Malik Willis can help the defense this year, and I think the Titans are going to tap into that in certain weeks. So I think that's the way they'll go. That we'll see. It wasn't easy. Is there a receiver who deserves to get a sixth spot? Is there a tight end who deserves a fourth spot? The question of offensive line, I say Jamarco Jones is out. Some say Dylan Raidens is out. Maybe they're both in. I mean, I have Jordan Ruse making the team over Jamarco Jones, so that could be way off, but that's how I look at it. And I got 9 of those guys. Defensive line, that's a tough one. At the bottom, you know, the top 4, I think, Simmons, Autry, Tartan, Jones. I say DeMarcus Walker is the guy, but I mean, Deshaun Hand, you know, you could make the case for Walker and Hand.
Yeah.
I think Murchison's out. Teresa doesn't like, and by the way, if he does make the team, we all need to get together on David Anani, which I think is how you say it, but there's a whole bunch of
different. There have been about 19 different pronunciations, so we're going to have to get to the bottom on that one.
I mean, my goodness, we got to work on that.
I'm just going to call him David A for the time being.
There you go. Because I think Ola A is your fourth guy, but I think he's been so good that they're going to be compelled to make him the fifth guy. And then you get to the linebackers and defensive backs. There's a lot of questions there at the bottom rungs. Joe Jones was great in camp. Is that good enough? You know, Dylan Cole's been banged up. He's a special teams guy. Chance Campbell, I like Chance Campbell. Monty Rice, of course, starts out. He won't be on the roster to start. He's on PUP. Cornerback, is Chris Jackson sticking with this team? You know, Swilling and Maben and Amadi. I got Theo Jackson making the team. But, you know, I know some people would disagree with that. I got Josh Okulu not making this team. I think A.J. Moore is the third safety. I think that's clear. If he's healthy, and he's been missing some time, but I think he's absolutely on this team. So I've seen some projections out there that didn't have A.J. Moore on the team. So I've just basically gone through the whole thing. There's a lot of, you know, it's as usual. When you get to that bottom of the list, it's like, is this guy good enough, or do you need to use that spot elsewhere? I do think they're going to get an extra spot at quarterback that I did not anticipate when camp started.
I'm interested today to see who the Titans keep as a sixth receiver. If they're going number 6, is it going to be Dez Fitzpatrick? Because, you know, Teresa said earlier on the show, she doesn't think it's going to be Dez. She thinks that he's going to get cut and that He had opportunities to make the team and did not take advantage of those opportunities during training camp. So, I don't know. If I had to guess, Joe, Des Fitzpatrick is probably still who I'd pick if they go six wide receivers. But I've got an open mind to Cody Hollister or whoever. I mean, being their number six wide receiver. I mean, I guess there's a chance they could just keep five and not have six either. I'm really interested to see what they do with that number six receiver spot today.
Yeah. Look, I think you can make the case for five and make the case for whoever else you like being signable to the practice squad. I threw this hot take out yesterday. I'll throw it out again today. So I'll double down on this. Had they not drafted Kyle Phillips, I think Mason Kinsey would be on this team right now, would be on this active roster.
Yeah.
I think he's improved so much, and we'll see if that's been detected around the league, because it's not like there's been a ton on display in the preseason games, but I think he has improved so much that he's good enough for someone else to pick him up off waivers today. He's not going to make this active roster, but there's a guy who could be scooped up. I don't think Des Fitzpatrick would be. So if you're the Titans and you think that, well, put him on the practice squad then, you know, once he clears waivers. And Hollister, you know, Hollister is worth a mention too, for sure. I think, again, I went six and I went with Des. I don't feel great about it. Tight end's really interesting. We talked about Pruitt earlier.
Yeah, Dennis on the text line says, who are you cutting when Michael Pruitt gets signed, with a crying, laughing emoji face?
Yeah, well, hey, I'm not going to shame anybody anymore about Michael Pruitt. That's worth a mention. And Michael Pruitt versus Tommy Hudson, I mean, I think they moved on from Michael Pruitt, and they've done it before. Do they need a fourth tight end? I think that those three guys who are locks are going to, you know, take up the bulk of the snaps, but it might not be a bad idea to have a fourth tight end active on game days. So there's a lot of these positions that, I mean, you could make a case for, like, really going heavy at D line and corner, just because you have so many guys who are similar to each other. But again, it's sort of like the question of, okay, how many of these guys do you feel good about just being able to put on the practice squad, and then they're there if you need them?
Smashville Citizen on Twitter says about this 53-man roster we're talking about. I think he thinks we're talking about like Malik Willis coming in and taking Tannehill's job. Says, such a bad take. Digging into Stillman's bag of crap again. Y'all are better than this. If there were a quarterback controversy, Tannehill would have played in the preseason to give him a chance to compete, and y'all know it. Hashtag lame topic. Are we talking about a quarterback controversy between Tannehill and Malik Willis? If you want that, turn it on like ESPN.
Who's saying this?
It was on Twitter. I think they've since deleted it.
Oh, it's on Twitter.
Yeah.
Oh, I got you. I'm looking at the text. I'm like, what? Yeah.
The headline of your tweet about your 53-man roster is like, is a rookie quarterback about to shake up the Titans' depth chart? And I guess he thought, oh, he's coming for Tannehill's job. Oh, my goodness.
Ooh. Maybe that'll get the story more clicks.
Ooh, people think, maybe.
I'm predicting a Tannehill man. I mentioned this earlier about something else. So went on Las Vegas radio yesterday talking about the Titans and got the question. So, Malik Willis, can he take over Tannehill's jobs and elevate this team? And I was like, no. And they're like, no. I'm like, no, he's not going to get any close to the field. I mean, I was nice about it, but it's like, dude, it's amazing, like, how much that is a thing. Like, it's not like rookie quarterbacks don't ever do this, but I think it's a combination of, as bad as Tannehill was in the playoffs last year, and as much as his overall performance dipped, like, he's still like a lot better than people realize around the league, right? I mean,
yes.
Is that fair to say? And then just the lack of understanding, like, guys, Willis, you know, all the teams passed on him multiple times. Okay, like, why would that be? Like, it's a project, folks. So, no, Twitter person who thankfully deleted your tweet, I hope that you figured that out.
I hope so as well. Now, I will say this. If the Titans decide that Malik Willis is the number two, much like, you know, forget the Logan Woodside thing for a second and whether or not he makes it to the practice squad. What if the Titans are like, yeah, Malik Willis is our backup quarterback? Is that the right decision if you're John Robinson and Mike Vrabel?
Well, it's you can do better than that. And you could still make a case right now that, I could make the case right now that Logan Woodside is just the safeness of game management of one game or two games. You still have a little bit better chance. You got a better chance for more plays with Malik Willis, but it's still, there's still a long way to go there. You know, and eventually he'll be way beyond Woodside, I think. Okay. But right now you could make that case, and you could certainly make the case that there are other guys out there who may be available who could be better options. So I'm, even if this is what it turns out to be today, where it's Willis and Tannehill and Woodside cut, I'm keeping an open mind on the Titans still tinkering at that spot.
We'll continue to go through Joe Rexroad's 53-man Titans roster. Also keep you updated on more cuts rolling in around the league, including Arthur Smith just dismantling what I thought was going to be a really good thing down there in Atlanta as well. We'll get to that next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Take a look at the Titans 53-man roster. Also keeping you up to date with some other moves being made around the league. By the way, Joe, Arthur Smith, so he got rid of Mykal Pruitt today. Falcons cut him. Now they're releasing Cam Batson, too. What's going on down there? I thought they were going to be the Titans of, the deeper south down there in Atlanta. But Cam Batson being released, Mykal Pruitt released. You know, McNichols was released a couple of weeks ago. Not so much for the Atlanta Titans. It's going to be back to the Atlanta Falcons. At least Marcus going to make the team.
Are these actually all a bunch of guys who, like, pissed off Arthur Smith when he was here, like, cut in front of him in the lunch line or something, and he just wanted to torment them,
maybe so,
tease them? And that's very disappointing, Art. Very disappointing. Batson, God, that guy's just great. What a great story.
I don't think he's going to make a return trip to the Titans. Like, I don't think that Cam Batson is going to be like, oh, Cam Batson's out there? Let's make him our sixth guy. I don't think that's going to happen.
I would agree with you. Can I do a quick shaming on the text line?
Sure.
Yeah, Junie, our resident Steelers. Fanatic. Joe, there's absolutely nothing special about Cincinnati.
Wow.
All right, Junie. So, do you have the Steelers finishing ahead of the Bengals? He's doing the whole teams are coming for them, first place schedule, all that stuff. They will ruin it. Owner doesn't want to pay for anything. I don't know, Junie.
Hey, they're getting
buddy.
They're getting an indoor practice facility. They just tweeted about it. So, like, congratulations. You're gonna actually be able to practice indoors in Cincinnati here pretty soon. I'm sure Burrow's excited about that.
Yeah, that is something that you would have thought might have happened in 1978, but still, progress.
Glad that they're getting with the times.
And here's another one here. If Willis is number two, how many picks does Tannehill get before fans are calling for Willis to start? Some fans actually now think he should be the starter. So, like, I mean, some people think the earth is flat. Like, like any large group of people, you can find some folks who are like, what? But they don't, like, represent the majority of a fan base. I would say the majority of the Titans fan base understands that Ryan Tannehill not starting this year is because of injury or because, like, the season has gone downhill and now it's like, okay, like, they're not going to make the playoffs. Great. Get Malik Willis some work. I mean, those are the two scenarios. There's no other.
I would totally agree with that. So the offensive line, it got a little bit more interesting yesterday. The Titans trade for Dennis Daly from Carolina, who's coming in. So you've got Radins, Corey Levin, Jordan Ruse. You got a bunch of different guys at the offensive line spot that may be in danger of being cut today. How does the Dennis Daly acquisition that the Titans made yesterday, which I'm assuming he's going to make the team after you trade for him, how does that impact what this room could look like for guys like Radins or maybe a Jamarco Jones as well, who we've not seen a lot of thus far in camp?
So my depth chart, my 53 that I turned in yesterday before this move, which of course forced me to do some phone typing at a JV football game in Franklin. I had Jalen McKenzie as my last guy, a developmental rookie from USC, offensive tackle. I popped him off and I put Daly in. That doesn't mean Daly's there on the depth chart. He's higher than that, but I'm just saying that's who I took off. I already had Jamarco Jones off. Could be wrong there. Maybe off on this. I just think that, I mean, I think Jamarco Jones, not that Kendall Lamb didn't make the team last year. He's still on the team. But Jamarco Jones reminds me of that acquisition, just not what the Titans thought they were getting. And so that's what I'm projecting, is that he's not on this team. Now I put McKenzie off this team too. You know, could definitely be a practice squad guy. I think Daly is possibly the swinging tackle, possibly just the backup to Lawan at left tackle, but certainly just adds to your tackle depth. And how do they view Dylan Raidens? I don't know. I think they view him as a guy who's still worthy of an active roster spot. I think the massive disappointment of being a second-round pick can cloud the vision of, you still have to look at him in the context of other offensive linemen on this roster. Look at his performance against some of them. I mean, he wasn't the only one who was getting thrown around by, you know, defensive linemen in preseason games. Like, it's kind of slim pickings here. I think Dylan Raidens is still a guy they feel like could give some depth inside or outside. And it's not like Nicholas Petit-Frere is miles ahead of him right now. It's just not the case.
No, and then there's the safety position where they've been, you know, mixing and matching and tinkering to try to find something there that works throughout the whole camp thus far. And they did make a move yesterday. Tyree Gillespie, who they traded for, got cut. So the Raiders were going to receive a conditional pick if he made the team, and he did not make the team. So Gillespie cut yesterday by the Titans at safety. And now you've got guys, you know, will Theo Jackson make the team? You know, how injured is A.J. Moore? You know, what do the Titans do at the safety spot? You know, where is Hugo Amadi going to play? Is he going to be a safety? Is he going to be a corner? How do they view him? Like, there's a lot of different, you know, answers or different questions out there that they're going to have to answer today. But safety, you know, obviously we've talked about this a ton. You hope it's Byard and Hooker and not much else there. But I'm interested to see who makes the 53 at that spot, because they've been trying like mad to figure that out all preseason long.
The only person I feel great about is A.J. Moore. I feel great about him being on this roster. He's been banged up, but they didn't put him on anything, so I assume then he's going to be on this roster based on the reps he got in camp. I think that's clear. Theo Jackson, I feel okay about. And then I had Lonnie Johnson as my fifth safety. But then that's where I'm like, man, I mean, Joshua Kalu, maybe he's the better choice there. I just feel like in the defense as a safety, Lonnie Johnson gives you a little bit more. We know that Kalu has extensive special teams experience here. So that's a tough one. But like you said, Robbie, you want that depth to just be there as depth, just in case, because there is a massive drop-off.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. David from McKenzie texting in says, I would love to see the Titans sign O.J. Howard to be the number two or number three tight end. What do you think the O.J. Howard part of this with the Titans? I don't give that much chance of happening.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. And I just – look, O.J. Howard, with what he's supposed to be, is a number one tight end. O.J. Howard, with what he realistically is in this league, he's a guy who's cut and is just sitting there for someone to sign. He's not a two or a three tight end. I know there's a lot of people who just don't like Jeff Swain. You know, he's not an exciting player, but the Titans like him, and he's solid. And it's going to be a heavy dose of Hooper and Swaim this year, I think, in two tight end sets. And then Chigakonkwo is a nice rookie number three tight end who's going to be mixed into the offense, and I think it makes him a nice play. So O.J. Howard, look, again, I love his measurables and loved watching him play at Alabama. There's a reason he's out there right now.
Heidi from Dixon on the text line says, the Falcons can't keep decent players that Robinson cut. They have to tank so they can get Pitts a franchise quarterback. I mean, they did just draft Desmond Ridder. So, like, do we think that Atlanta's going in the tank for a QB this year? I don't know. Maybe they are.
I don't think so. I think that I think Arthur Smith. I don't think Arthur Smith is going to feel great about let's go 3-14 this year. I mean, you know, like at some point, I think this is a year they want to show progress, and then it probably at some point make the transition from Mariota to Ritter. Although I'd love to see Mariota be, you know, comeback player of the year, NFL man of the year, MVP, whatever the case may be.
You think Marcus can hold off Ritter the whole year as a starting QB?
I don't think they're going to be good, so I think that at some point it'll probably be Ritter in there. I'd love to see Marcus get a whole year and play well, but I think at some point Ritter probably supplants him.
No faith. No faith whatsoever in Mariota. It's disappointing to hear from you. I expect it from me. I expect more from you.
Well, you know, I mean, if it was nice guy Olympics, I mean, he's, you know, setting a gold medal record, but it's not that. Hey, again, it'd be fun to watch. I've said this before. Run him, use that skill set, lean in on that, make your offense about that. But then again, if Ritter's going to come in week six anyway, how much do you make the offense that? I don't know.
We'll keep you updated throughout the show and throughout the day here today on 102.5, 106.3 The Game on cuts around the league. The 53-man roster due by 3 o'clock today, so you'll see continue to see cuts come in hot and heavy throughout the waiver wire today. We'll see if Brett Kern ends up anywhere today. That's going to be interesting to watch as well over the course of the next couple of days as to whether or not Brett Kern continues to play football, and if so, where is that going to be? Joe, that's going to do it for us today. We'll have a big show tomorrow. Paul Kaharsky on with us. We'll take a look at the Baltimore Ravens tomorrow as well with Jeff Zrebeck as well. So looking forward to that. Good stuff today, Joseph.
You too, folks. Nice work.
We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace is up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.